I think the toughest lesson was when I was realizing that the path that I had taken didn't bring me anywhere.
Hi, and welcome to Lead Well, the podcast for you if you want to get better at leading yourself and leading others. This is Christine Schickinger, your host, looking into how you can achieve peak performance while keeping a peaceful mind. Today, I have a wonderful guest, and that is Randolph Speigner. Hi, Randolph.
Hi, everybody.
Hi. So let me quickly give you a bit of an overview of Randolph. So, quick bio. Randolph Speigner is a transformation facilitator, enterprise agile coach, and passionate advocate for regenerative leadership. What an interesting term. We'll talk about that, of course. With over two decades of experience in guiding leaders and teams, from dynamic startups to global enterprises, Randolph empowers organizations to thrive amidst change and disruption. He specializes in mental fitness. That's something we have in common, believing that true leadership begins with resilience and self-awareness. Randolph regularly shares insight on mindful leadership and is an active speaker at international events like this year in Denver, Agile 2025, and then in Switzerland on the XP event 2025 as well. Welcome, Randolph. Great to have you.
Thank you.
So, let me ask you a few questions here. So, you have spent decades facilitating transformations. How did your journey start, and why have you focused on regenerative leadership and agile coaching in particular?
Well, I think agile coaching is a form of applied organizational development based on agile principles and values. And then the regeneration comes in when we want to tap into those frozen energies that are in our subconscious and where we want to actually lift this potential, which then brings those structures to life, those agile structures. So that's a combination, I think, to facilitate transformation.
And what does this regenerative leadership, I never heard this term before, reading it in your documentation. So what does this mean, and what does it, how do you approach that?
So regenerative is to restore something which is broken. And I think when we look around, a lot of things are broken by a more exploitative mindset, which is also present in all kinds of management theories of the 20th century. And regenerative is basically realizing the undigested things that are buried in a layer of collective trauma and exploring that lift potential for clients.
And what does this look like in practice? So, when you say you take an approach of regenerative leadership, what is happening there?
This practice is regenerative in the sense that you become aware of your own blind spots. So, the places in you where you store a certain energy, which you are not aware of, but which basically you carry in front of you everywhere you go. You also perceive the world in a way that is like colored. Regenerative means that we become aware of these structures and we tap into the frozen energy which lies below these structures. It's like a frozen part of myself, something I have fractured some time back. And we become aware of these transformational steps as catalysts for transformation. That's the aim. So it's re regenerative. So it's regenerative in ourselves by tapping into these hurt parts of ourselves.
And are you doing that by talking to people? Are you doing any exercises, any energy work?
Yeah, first of all, you do it by yourself. So you become your own vessel of transformation. Whenever you face an obstacle, probably it has to do with yourself. And this also means in your work, if you face something which you are not aware of or which overwhelms you, that's probably a good sign that there is something which is ready to integrate. So you use your own path, so to speak, as a way to make more and more space for whatever comes your way.
And I don't have a, because I think a lot in images, I still don't have an image of what I would need to do to get there. So is this meditation or what is it? What is the access point there?
I think it's mindfulness, yes.
Okay.
So to be mindful of the interception, the interception, which is basically feeling the inside of your nervous system and becoming aware of the signals that come from the nervous system and really becoming able to interpret the signal and not be overwhelmed by it. Because usually we are overwhelmed, and mindfulness helps us to be aware of whatever might be overwhelming.
Okay, so being able to get into the observer level and literally observe what's going on in ourselves and around ourselves. Without being overwhelmed by it. It reminds me of a technique that I'm using, the trust technique, where hypothetically we have 10 different thinking levels. We call them thinking levels. And when we are at a thinking level that is beyond 8, 9, 10, we are so in panic, we're so overwhelmed, as you said, by everything outside that we can't really act, we can't think. We just have this one thought we need to get out of there. So we need some mindfulness to be able to look at things to then change them. Is that, have I got that? Okay. Wow. Cool. So what is one of your most rewarding experiences that you've had guiding leaders and teams through this change?
Yeah, the highlights are the retreats we facilitate with our enterprise clients, where we run internal cohorts of like 24 change agents. These are transformational leaders, like maybe HR coaches, but also, any role can lead in such an environment. So anybody is really there are people from HR in it, but also people from IT. Where you want to have a broad representation of the system. And then you go on a journey of 6 months. And in the middle of it, and at the beginning of it, there is a retreat where you basically meet as a group for 4 days. And you have the possibility to practice approach, to also practice mindfulness, and to practice on a collective case, which is the company that you're in. And then develop a space where you can start working systemically with people and also initiate a collective transformational journey where you focus on evolving the culture and the mindset in the container that you built, so in the vessel that you are as.
And it's 6 months long, you said. It's a six-month transformation journey.
Yeah, it's depending on how you set the appointments, but it's up to a year.
Oh, wow.
So we also, of course, do leadership training where we recruit leadership from our clients to basically also make sure that the leadership, the collective leadership effectiveness increases. So the leaders receive a 360 and they also go into immersive experiences like a retreat. And they're also, get information about their reactive tendencies, so what they bring from the past and also what their potential is, and together with a group of peers, design an alliance for deliberate development.
Wow. And how are you tracking their transformation? Because I guess there are a lot of stories where you had managers come in really overwhelmed, and then 6 months later or a year later, there were different types of personalities. Do you have any stories like that?
Yeah, there are stories. Like, I mean, of course, how do you measure professional progress? That's a question that currently interests me a lot. And I think the question is not completely answered yet, at least not in an applied way where you can easily access data, for example, about your transformational progress. And one way is to measure reactions, also learnings of people. Impact on their behavior and impact on the organization. That's four levels that you can measure. And then, of course, you can measure in the relevant quadrant. So you say, I'm interested in behavior, I'm interested in mindset, I'm interested in the processes, and I'm interested in the culture. And with that, you get a holistic view on how to measure the impact. But it's merely surveys, observations of stakeholders and peers, and also flow data, right? Like maybe you have Jira, for example, and you can measure flow data, or you have other ERP systems or Salesforce where you can measure your performance. And so this is how you create the whole picture.
And I guess also the team feedback, because if you're working with managers and leaders, then they should see a different response in their teams as well.
Yeah, you can also apply the 360 again after the amount of time and then measure the impact in leadership effectiveness of the whole leadership group.
Yeah, so 360 being literally talking to everyone around someone in the organization. So their manager, their employees, and also their peers. So you have a holistic view of all of them. Oh, sure. When you do that before and after, then you definitely get the difference there. So when you're into mindfulness and into resilience and regenerative, what is any practice, one practice maybe that you personally are doing every day to stay mentally fit?
Yeah, I meditate every day.
And how
So,
does that look for you? Because I hear a lot of people talk about meditation, and I think everyone understands something different when we say meditate.
So one practice that I do is the so-called three sync, where you basically become aware of your bodily sensations. You become aware of where you feel grounded, where you feel alive, where you feel also connected to the ground. And then you also become aware of your breath. And especially the out breath is important because it activates the nervous system part, which is, bringing digestive qualities to life.
So the parasympathetic nervous system, I talked about that in the podcast earlier as well. So focusing on the out breath more than the intake of air.
And really, with the out breath, also experiencing anything that is coming up that is pleasant, and also the tensions that are coming up in the body. The first step, the first level of the three sync, and then the second level is to tune in with the subtle energies, meaning to tune in with emotions. So, what is the emotional state? Whether there is fear or joy. And then Also becoming aware of the thoughts that are around, and also noticing that we notice all these energies in us, and becoming aware of the space in which all these energies arise, so to speak. So, and then this is the presence in which you can breathe.
Oh, okay. So that's a daily practice for you. How long would you spend with that?
That's 1 hour.
1 hour. Wow, that's a deep process then.
And additionally to that, an active practice like jogging and some yoga stances or meridian stretching exercises.
Okay, say more about that.
Meridian stretching. I'm not an expert in it, but it's certain stances. They are similar to yoga stances where you can also practice body awareness.
Wow. And so, yeah, like you described that, you're really aware of your body and mind then when you've gone through those exercises. Wow. It's cool. Well, when you look back on your journey as an agile coach, now as a trainer, a leader for others, what is the toughest lesson that you've learned so far, and how that ha has that shaped you?
I think the toughest lesson was when I was realizing that the path that I had taken didn't bring me anywhere. I realized that I had to change something, and I started this meditation practice 6 years ago within a retreat, and this changed a lot. And this also, before that, there was a long phase of realization of certain inner conflicts. Especially inner conflicts in the way certain things are presented in a business world, and then, presented marketing is not fully brought to life because those issues that we talked about earlier, they are not recognized. They are not part of the meaning making system, the operating system of the organization. So, and then I had to realize that I need to, also find a way to deal with leadership and culture, which was were always the points where my transformation efforts back then, collapsed or went in the wrong direction.
Okay.
Where certain leadership mindset also exploited the tools that Agile provides, and therefore also produced side effects. And
Or the people who were involved, I guess.
yeah, exactly. And to realize that, and to also realize that in oneself, and to be able to then also step by step find ways to deal with it. And you end up with yourself and your own shadows and start to explore them.
Wow. Wow. And you then took the next step and changed what you did and your approach, which is great. Let me ask you that, because one of my biggest values really is curiosity. What role has curiosity played in your approach to life, to leadership?
It plays a role in our approach to regenerative transformation because what you need is an inquiry mindset, and curiosity leads to inquiry. So being able to recognize the not knowing as something which is a welcome.
Okay.
So to step into the future. to be open for what's coming.
Without needing to know it, to make plans, to have a kind of scenario already in mind. Okay.
But also having an intention. So at the same time, you have an intention. And that's your purpose. And part of your purpose is also to work with the difficulties that come to you. So that's a self-transformative approach that you take.
Okay, so being open, but having a direction more or less, purpose giving you direction. Wow, that sounds great. Now, if our listeners could adopt just one principle from your work, what would you recommend? What would have an immediate impact?
Yeah, maybe the principle of polarities is interesting in this context, and maybe the principle of breathing in and breathing out almost.
Okay.
Really seeing everything as two polarities that maybe come across your life. And if you have a difficulty, you probably are at one pole of the polarity attached to it. So maybe this polarity of holding space, so being with what is, and also being curious about what is it. I don't know if this is a principle, actually.
But it's a great way of looking at it. So you say there are these polarities and being aware of where I am. And if I have an issue, I probably am at one end of this polarity.
Yeah, and this can spark curiosity to actually explore what's the other end. So, where's the tension and where's the, yeah, also resistances?
Wow. That's cool. Well, you work a lot with introspection. And one other question I have for you, is there any book or any resources that has deeply influenced you recently? And why would that be the case?
So, what influenced me? I mean, there are many books that influenced me, but maybe some of them are in the area of agile transformation and integral transformation. It's a book of my mentor, also Michael Spade, who has some things in the agile coaching world and also important steps towards professionalizing agile coaching. That's agile transformation and the integral sense making and adaptive action approach that is described in this book. And then what recently is interesting for me is the whole area of collective trauma. And there are some teachers like Thomas Hübel, for example, who explore collective trauma, but also others. So that's a huge field where I'm interested. And of course, the whole regenerative organizational dimension with Theory U and regenerative leadership. Bob Anderson, Bill Adams, the Leadership Circle and the Scaling Leadership, Mastering Leadership books, Reinventing Organizations. These are books that are important for me. And also an everyone culture where the core of what we do, namely to create deliberately developmental communities, is described, where you design an organization in a way so that they deliberately focus on the strategic imperative, which is to help people grow their capabilities, also their leadership mindset, in order to create organizations together with their peers that are more capable of those that they are sitting in right now.
So, which is again about the purpose of an organization. So not only to be to create more money, more income, but also grow the people that are working there.
Because the inner growth leads to outer growth. The inner growth leads to the ability to really take in the reality that is around you. So really you can hold the whole thing in a way that you can create effective solutions to the problems that you have.
And it leads back to the initial things we discussed, because inner growth leads to outer growth. It's not only true for organizations, but also for each and every individual. Wow, that's where the circle is coming together. Wow, it's so interesting. And it's a very different way of looking at the world that I get to know through you. So thank you very much, Randolph. Where can people find more about you and about the speaking engagements that you have?
There is a website, cogrow.space, and there is also the public offering on the collectiveedge.com. And in LinkedIn, I have a profile.
Cool. Well, thank you so much. I will definitely put all the links also in the show notes. It was really, really interesting having this conversation with you. Thank you so much for sharing your insight and your knowledge, your wisdom. And yeah, I'm sure there will be more from you to come. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This was Lead Well. Now, what is the one thing that you're taking away from this episode? Please share in the comments below and do share the podcast with your friends and family, but only if you like it.